Welcome to Conversations in Cannabis. Today's guest is George Sadler from California-based Gelato. This conversation was recorded in person, October 5th, 2022.
Start from the beginning. You guys originally, you and your son, were in the cannabis industry with PV, sold, starting this. How has the transition to this new brand been for you?
It's to us, it's like a brand new adventure. Bottom up again, super excited. And when we went into this, the idea for us was we just wanted to really create something fun. We wanted fun cannabis, not the mundane, you know, not that it was. It's just, I think we've gone into a new era in cannabis where it's super just okay. You know what I mean? And it's okay to say that you smoke. And it's, we've always said that over the last couple few years, but now it's really okay. And you can see it on people's faces. They're excited. And so we just said, you know what, let's do something just like bubbly and fun. And so we came up with Gelato.
And obviously definitely bubbly and fun. And you're right, the industry has kind of shifted, but you guys still kind of have the same motif of having really poppy colors, really fun and inviting energy. And I mean, you and your son are kind of quintessential to what the culture of cannabis is. I remember when we were back on the podcast a while back, you kind of talked about your guys' journey to Mexico and having your parties down there. Are you guys still considering, are still capturing that culture within the new brand?
Absolutely, absolutely. And we just launched in Michigan, so we kind of got back on that one, which is doing exceptional. But I think, you know, once again, I think that just the layer of this is fun. And when you take now what we're looking at with the brands that we've created as well, we're keeping all those in line to just offer a very good quality product at an affordable price. And then the big thing is a brand. It's time now for brands to really step up the game and move forward and allow people to get on that brand train.
Well, and when you're looking at, say, the California market, obviously the California market is extremely expensive, so being able to hit that kind of mid-market tier is important. When you were looking at the overall totality of the California cannabis industry and you're deciding kind of what demographic to go for, what made you want to settle on that tier?
I think, you know, everybody says there's a race to the bottom, and we always, you know, we always believe that the bottom's not such a bad place to be. And and if you're there and you understand it, I don't know that there's, when we had other brands, we always looked at what was our age group and, you know, however, and we could never really pinpoint. It's like, oh, are you, you know, the 21 to 35? Are you the 35 to 60? And, you know, everybody would ask, and we never understood that. And so with this, you know, you can see it across the board. As we're in stores and we're doing, you know, the buttenders and everybody else, we're getting just everybody. And when we're looking at the demographics of how we're picking this up, we don't understand it because everybody is using the brand. So, well, I think everybody wants to have fun.
Everybody does want to have fun. I mean, a lot of people are kind of, especially newcomers into the scene, they're very kind of skittish about certain brands because they're very out there. They're very, you know, kind of non-inviting in the packaging. Your packaging is much more relaxed, chill. When you were coming up kind of with the creative design and the conceptualization for how you wanted to bring that forward-facing approach to the consumer, how did you decide on your design team and your final branding?
That is, I wish I could take credit for that. I have a little bit of input. My son Cody is the one that just is the mastermind behind how we appear in that way. We all have input. This goes across everybody's desk to approve the whole thing, but Cody is the mastermind behind how the brand appeals. And we just all talk about it, and then he visualizes. We all kind of do, but he visualizes the main, and then he works with our design team to get that as close as possible to what we want that to be out in the market as.
Well, and branding is one step of it. The second step of it is obviously the quality of the flower that's being produced and what, you know, flavors you guys are producing. When you were looking at kind of the swath of genetics that are available to the California cannabis industry and different, say, partners that are available for you to work with, what went into your development phase into figuring out, hey, I definitely want to work with these guys and I definitely want to grow these crops?
So, I mean, I think now what you're seeing is, you know, the levels of cannabis and flower these days exceeds anything we were seeing even 3 years ago. And so with technology and with testing and state compliance and all these things, it's gotten growers to move to this level that they never were. And so, you know, our levels of flower now are amazing. And so, you know, once again, Cody's a big part of that, along with one of our other guys, Rob, in the purchasing side of where we're at. So the benefit for us is that we will go in and buy a whole crop. And so we're able to stay consistent with the strains that we use. And in doing that, our buying power is so big that we're getting these crops at, you know, such prices that allow us to put it on the market as if, you know, it was what they would call previously a bottom shelf. And that's why, you know, the numbers that we're doing in flower way exceeds what we ever thought we were going to do.
And when you're looking at kind of the categorical approach and you're building up the brand, obviously flower has always been king. When you're kind of looking at the sales as we're moving kind of into the third and fourth quarter of 2022, are you still seeing the categories kind of stay static as far as flower being king and things like that? Are you seeing some shifts? Are there categories that you're looking to enter into? What's kind of the lay of the California landscape?
I mean, the only thing we can do is kind of speak for what we're doing and what we try to see out there. Pre-rolls have taken a huge leap. Any type of pre-rolls, they've really taken infused pre-rolls. We're doing numbers that are just like mind-boggling for us because, as coming from a cartridge background, and still the carts are doing extremely well. But I honestly think pre-rolls have hit an all-time high, especially the little dog walkers, you know, they call them, and the small infused pre-rolls. It's just doing amazing. So I would say pre-rolls have definitely shifted in a place that they never were.
Well, and do you think that that's partially because, again, during the 215 days of California's cannabis industry, the house flower pre-rolls, people are kind of seeing now what pre-rolls can be. Do you think the quality being increased on the flower side for the pre-rolls is helping drive that purchasing decision?
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing is, you're getting really, really good pre-rolls at an affordable price or lower than that even. And so, you know, if you take what happened, you know, for the last 5-6 years, pre-rolls were always like kind of a behind the scene, like here's pre-roll. And it was always trim, it was always this. And people got back into the fact that that's a market that is so big to be able to just grab a few pre-rolls and go to a show, go do whatever. People still like to smoke pre-rolls and smoke, you know, but we went through this phase where pre-rolls really were garbage. And now they've kind of come back as like a top line product to be able to grab it, you know, at the point of sale. You know, I mean, it's like one of those things where now you're seeing people coming just for pre-rolls.
Well, back in the day, the 215 era, you're right, absolutely trim run pre-rolls that were an afterthought, disgusting flavor.
Every time you'd walk into a store, they'd give you a free pre-roll.
Yeah.
And it was like, most people would go, fuck, I don't want that. You know what I mean? Literally. I can remember when we had stores, we would give out pre-rolls and they would just be, like, literally, they just, no, I don't want it.
Yeah, I've turned them down myself. I've just been like, you know, hey, I came here for the actual flower. And I even, as California, or I should say, as Los Angeles County started moving into kind of smoke lounges and stuff like that, and they would give, you know, say cheap pre-rolls as kind of an invitation, yeah, just break it down and roll it into something else. I don't want to smoke that.
Right.
So, you know, now kind of seeing the pre-rolls really rise up and take a position of their own, do you see that as being the future king versus flower?
I don't know that flower will ever get dropped. I think flower, you know, flower is kind of like a Mike Tyson up there. I think it's just going to stay, or Michael Jordan. You know, I mean, flower will always be king. We can't, as much as even back when we were just doing cartridges, we used to always promote, oh, cartridges are going to take over. You know, and don't get me wrong, everybody's standing at a different level than they were, but you will never lose a good flower, and it, I don't think you can't take it off the podium. It's just going to be there forever, and that's the base of everything that we're doing. So you know, when you take flower and you break it down into how it gets into edibles and cartridges and pre-rolls and all that stuff, don't get me wrong, it's great, but there's nothing like breaking down a really good bud. And as much as we always thought, oh, the generations coming up were dabbing, and that's always great, but they still like the flower.
I mean, there's something, I mean, because dabbing is a very personalized experience. You're only going to dab yourself versus sharing a joint or sharing a blunt. I mean, that creates the culture.
Passing around a Puffco and, you know, doing that thing. But like you said, the experience of flower and a pre-roll, hitting a nice bong hit, you know what I mean? Like those things are now starting to come back. Dabbing is still a thing, and it will always be a thing, but there's now the generations are starting to appreciate what goes into those dabs by getting the actual flower. And they're like, wow, like this is how my dabs got the way they were. And the fact is that I think people are just smoking a lot more flower.
Well, the terpenes, I think that the focus on terpenes over just THC percentages now, consumers are getting smarter. I think that that's forcing a lot of brands to kind of really focus on their genetics and making sure that the good flower is out there. When you're looking at the overall landscape of the United States, obviously you're a legacy player. You're now in the 64 area in California. You're an MSO, or you were an MSO for PV, but now you're an MSO again. Yeah. What are you seeing out there outside of California?
Michigan's still just it's just an unseen market that it's exploding. All the states that are coming through now, I mean, everybody that's coming on, you're just getting a much more concentrated quality. You know, when you used to go into another state, you'd go through that phase of kind of, we call it the garbage phase. And, you know, people learning to grow. Because having to be in that state, you're going to have to process and grow, and you know, vice versa. And now the level going into these states is exceeding what it ever used to. Well, I think just technology is allowing people to pick up on things so much quicker, you know, than back when we were there. It's like, you know, you didn't know nutrients, and people were trying to figure things out. Now they literally have a pathway. So when you go into a state, and I think also the operators in the states are super educated versus how it used to be. So it's just, cannabis is real. It's just I don't know how to explain it. It's like, look at what we're doing nowadays. And you know, sitting at an event where police officers are walking through your venue talking about, oh, it smells good. You know what I mean? Like, that's, come on. It's a different life now.
It's a different world. I mean, it obviously, you know, when I was growing up in the 90s, I didn't think that this was going to be a thing. When you're now looking at the federal government, obviously the Safe Banking Act has been really, really pushed hard. Are you hopeful that there will be banking reform in the next, say, 3 years? And if there is banking reform, do you see that as the pathway to legalization finally?
I think it's probably, yes, I do see it happening. Rumors having it that it's coming in this next year. There are a lot of banks now that are open. Unfortunately, they're charging a lot of money to be able to bank. So is it really a federal thing? That's what this comes down to, because if I can go to a big name bank, as they have come to us, and I can bank with them, but I have to pay 6%, you know, to put my money in there, is that really stopping them federally? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It kind of takes us back to the old days of renting properties, you know, at, you know, 8-10 times market value. So in this case, I do believe that it's around the corner, because it's being accepted in a lot of different ways. But I don't know that is truly the way to legalization. I think we got a little ways to go. There's some generations that have to pass through to get to this, you know, in all those different levels. I think we're close, you know, but I don't think it's that important, to be honest with you. At this point in the game, what are we missing? You know, other than the fact that we're being taxed in crazy ways, and, you know, but look at, like, what are we really missing on the legalization side? When that does happen, you have to understand that the big market is coming in. And so You know, are we ready? No. Nobody's ready for that.
Well, my main concern with legalization, and you could tell me from an operator's perspective, I see intellectual property on the international scale as being the biggest problem. I mean, you got obviously Canada, you have brands that are now going international. United States, you have seed companies that have gone international like DNA Genetics. A couple of brands like Cookies open, say, a smoke shop in Barcelona.
Yep.
But
cheers
when you're, yeah, I want to see more, you know, more U.S. brands kind of make their way over to the European landscape. But as far as intellectual property on the federal side, I mean, Cookies, for instance, is using their clothing line to cover their cannabis trademark. Do you think that federal legalization not happening is kind of holding back entrepreneurs from saying staking their claim on the global market?
Yeah, of course, absolutely. I don't know I don't think it's really slowing us down. There's a lot of little pocket things that would definitely break open if it were, you know, on the legalization side. But, you know, look at what's happening. Look at people are finding their ways around, you know, once again, I mean, Burner and Cookies, like what's happening with that in going into Europe and those things. So it's possible, and it's possible still under this whole situation. I think the biggest thing, if you really were to look at it as for us as operators, as manufacturers, the biggest thing for us is if we are able to go nationwide, would be, you know, being able to drive our products through state to state and not have to build facilities in each state that you're in. Right. So you can then control a hub, you know, in X state and be able to distribute throughout that. That, I think, is probably the biggest thing about legalization. And it has to fall in there, too. You know, I mean, even though it's legal, you still have to, they still have to pass something that allows us to ship, you know. And that's the biggest thing for us. Because everywhere that you decide that you want to take your brand, you've got to build a facility at, you know, anywhere from $2 to $5 million.
Well, it's not just that, but I mean, if you really think about it, the oversaturated markets, say Oregon, Colorado, could then offset.
They're losing, and those markets are, I think, you know, having those markets, especially Oregon and Washington, which can produce some of the best quality products, are being restrained, and they have shipping containers full of flower that are just rotting, and the prices have dropped. And imagine what that could do for those great brands, manufacturers that are doing amazing things, to be able to legally produce and flow that product through the states. You know, I mean, there's enough room for everybody. And I think, you know, we're excited if that, you know, if and when that does come into play.
Well, I'm definitely excited to be able to try your brand here at Hall of Flowers 2022. I know you have your party here tonight. What can we expect from you this year, obviously, but moving into next year, what can we expect from the brand?
I mean, I think, you know, we're solidifying in Michigan for sure, and we're poking around on a couple few more states that we feel pretty solid about, you know, moving on that end of it. And I think the other thing is once again, is for us, is it's creating SKUs that that allow people to have a different experience across the board, whether it's in the concentrate or in the edible section and whatnot. And then also brands that we have, and, you know, I mean, you can throw these on there. These are brands that we've already created just within this time of gelato, and they're all climbing the ranks. Baggy Buds, which is always a fun. It's, you know, if you've seen that.
Yeah, I did. It looks like literally like a baggy of weed.
That's and that was, you know, once again, my son was, you know, kind of looking at it. We were always talking, and it's like, you know, the old Ziploc bags, and people have it. So Baggy Buds, you know, came into play. So I think just, once again, it's just having fun. We're not here to compete, if you want to call it that, and that's always what it's been. We're just having fun. Our team is having fun, and we want that to kind of flow into when somebody's getting the experience, you know, through our brand. And so far, I think it's working.
I definitely think it's working too, and you guys definitely have one of the best booths here at Hall of Flowers 2022. I mean, obviously it's 80 something degrees, and you guys are gonna have ice treats over there. So I'm definitely gonna be checking that out, as well as the flower. George and Cody, the father son team behind gelato, really appreciate your time, George. Thank you again.
As
so
always,
much.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely.
We would like to thank George for his time and being on today's episode. Find out more about Gelato by visiting them online at www.gelatocanna.com. Stay tuned to the next episode here on Conversations in... Stay tuned for the next episode here on Conversations in Cannabis.